Hey, somebody say amen. What a great song, the old rugged cross. Man, oh man, oh man. What a beautiful, beautiful song. Father, we love you. We bow before you. I pray, Father, as we get ready to get into the word here, that you will speak to our hearts through the things Jesus said from the cross. Lord God, it is our prayer that somebody would surrender their life to Jesus and be saved. It is also our prayer that we are reminded of your goodness and grace to us, that our faith would be strengthened by what Jesus said on the cross. We pray your Holy Spirit to empower as we are ready to dig into this. I ask you, God, that the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer, my rock, the rock of my salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, a couple came here and they got saved, both of them, the husband and the wife. They were baptized, and then their kids got saved, and they were baptized. And they became servants of God here at the church while they were with us. And they were just magnificent. One time I was talking to the lady, and she said, Pastor, before becoming a Christian, I had tried Buddhism, Taoism, I had tried Islam. I checked and tried the Jehovah's Witnesses. I tried the Mormons. And she said, but everything I tried didn't work for me. She said, nothing works like Jesus Christ. She said, Jesus Christ is everything I looked for. Maybe on this Easter Sunday, you're one of those folks that are looking for answers. You're looking for something that really sticks, something that is going to make a difference in your life. Maybe you haven't found that, and you're searching and you're looking. And people today, they seem to follow any leader or any philosophy that sounds promising. Because people are looking for truth and they're looking for hope, wherever they can find it. But whenever we try things to be fulfilling and satisfying, nothing ever works. Nothing ever lasts, except for Christ. After we were gone from New Orleans for many years, we wanted to go back because we loved the food in New Orleans. And so there was a specific place we wanted to check out again. Is called Copeland's. Copeland's is the owner, or was the owner, of Popeye's Fried Chicken. But he had a Cajun restaurant. And in that Cajun place, man, you could eat the best crab au gratin you ever had. You could eat soft shell crabs. And that, when you eat, if you're eating a soft shell crab, you eat the whole thing. I mean, you don't try to break it, you just. You could eat some crawdads that were just insanely good, and gumbo that was insanely good. And we, man, listen, our mouths were watering for months because we knew we were going to hit Copeland's hard. When we got there at the French Quarter, remember, Doreen, we got to Copeland's. It had a big sign in front that said, sorry, closed. The door was closed. Imagine being on a long hallway looking forward to something that is going to satisfy you and really just be absolutely amazing to you. And you're looking down this hallway and there's doors on either side of you. And you just know that behind one of those doors is what you're looking for, that is going to make a difference in your life. And there's a door with the name money in it, and you try to open it, but it's closed. Because you know, money is good. The Bible doesn't say that money is bad. Money is good. If you have it, it's even better. It's the love of money that's bad, the Bible says. That's the dangerous thing. But you may be reaching to see if money was going to get you there, but it isn't. And sometimes we think that achievement is what's going to get us satisfaction and fulfillment. But I want to tell you something about achievement. If you win an award that you're looking forward to winning, or if you do something that maybe nobody's done, you break the record, somebody's going to break the record after you. You can win an achievement, and then after you've won it, you wonder, what's next? Is there anything else? I've been reading a book called Inner Excellence, and they quote Mike Krzyzewski. He was the famous all-star coach for Duke basketball. He won 10 ACC tournaments at Duke, and 5 national championships. That dude was a beast. And he said this about winning all those incredible titles and being such an accomplished coach. I don't think there's anyone like him in basketball, college basketball anyway. He said this: if we're constantly looking at our win-loss record to determine whether we are doing well, we're not looking at the right barometer. And you'll always be frustrated. There will never be enough championships, he says, never enough wins. And when you finally attain them, if you're lucky enough to do so, they'll only be numbers. Somebody will say you were great or successful, but ultimately you'll know it's an empty success. Coach Mike is a man of faith, by the way. So the accomplishment door is closed. Then there's a relationship door. We think, man, a relationship is really going to be satisfying. And relationships are good, and they give us a good time. But they don't last forever. And so that door of relationships is closed, it's locked. And you know, sometimes we think, oh, man, vacation. When I go on vacation, that's when I'm going to be really happy, and it's going to last forever. No, vacations come and go, and it's done. That door's locked. And as you're walking down this long hallway, and there's doors that you may have tried on your own, and they're locked because they don't bring you any lasting satisfaction. The one door in your hallway that is wide open is the door that says Jesus. Do you all have notes? Did everybody pick up a bulletin? Who does not have a bulletin? Did anybody forget to pick up a bulletin because Rose is not here? Okay, good job. You all deserve an A. All right, so here we go. For your notes, only Jesus can fill that empty hole in your soul. Write the word hole there in your blanks. Only Jesus can fill that empty hole in your soul. At the cross, Jesus made 7 statements. 7 statements that give us a super clear understanding of God. When you read those 7 statements that we have studied, 5 of them, we're going to finish the last 2 today. When you go through those 7 statements, you realize, hey, God can meet my needs. God is the one I'm looking for. It is Jesus, the one I've been missing all of my life. If you're a child of God, we're just going to sort of kind of review where we've been. And this is the point where you and I reconsider, man, God, thank you for what you've done for me. And if you've never given your heart to Christ, whether you're here or you're watching on Facebook, Jesus Christ is the one and only that can give you the hope and the life you're looking for that is actually satisfying. In those 7 statements, we're going to see the awesomeness of God. So I'm going to read all of them once again. First, Jesus said he was crucified right by the Romans, and he is there because of our sin. Luke 23:34 says, Father, forgive. Jesus said, as he's watching all these people and they're cursing at him and they're humiliating him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. For your notes, write this down. The cross speaks to us about God's grace. Our faith is all about the cross, y'all. We've been singing about the cross today. The cross of Christ speaks about God's grace. I want to tell you something. Those people ridiculing Jesus did not deserve the grace and mercy of Jesus. Those people cursing Jesus did not deserve the grace and mercy of Jesus. I've heard people say bad things about the Jews nailing Jesus on the cross. And yeah, they rejected him. But I want to tell you, no one deserves the grace of God. No one deserves the mercy of God. Because the Bible says that we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. Everybody somehow along the way has messed up. And we don't deserve it. There was a time in my life, and there might have been, I'm sure, a time in your life when you disregarded God. When you rejected the idea of Jesus or Christianity, of church, you know, but the idea of Jesus, you just or you ignored the Lord Jesus. You didn't care about it. There's people who take God's name in vain. They curse and use God's name. No one deserves the love of God in any culture, at any point in time in history. That's why it's called grace. God gives it anyway, even though we don't deserve it. So when Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them, he's not just saying, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Yes, they didn't know what they were doing because Jesus had not yet resurrected from the dead. But it's almost a prayer for us too. God, forgive them. God, forgive them. God, forgive them. Listen, it was your sin that sent Jesus to the cross. If you ever lied, if you ever had a bad thought, if you ever had an adulterous thought, if you ever said a bad word, if you ever knew the right to do but didn't do it, if you ever sinned and you have, then it was your sin that sent Jesus to the cross. Amen? It was my sin that sent Jesus to the cross. It wasn't just the Jewish sin. It was all of our sins that sent Jesus to the cross. Oh, man, there is Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. And he is spilling his precious blood so that our sins could be cleansed. Jesus says something else. He said, I tell you the truth. Today, he said in Luke 23:43, today you will be with me in paradise. And that tells us that the cross, for your notes, the cross tells us that God is welcoming and forgiving. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise to who? A good guy? Is that who he said it to? A real nice guy? A real fine neighbor? No, he said that to a criminal who was dying because of the wrong things he has done. So this guy didn't deserve the love of God, but here's Jesus, here's God welcoming and forgiving. Whatever you've done, God says, I welcome you and I'm willing to forgive you. You come to me by faith. That's the way God is. Somebody may have had a hard heart for many years. I've met people that went without God for many, many years in their lives, but then they get saved when they're old. Listen, God is saying, I welcome you. You may have done something. You've been spending time in jail. You may have lied or you may have stolen. Maybe some people even kill and they're sent to jail. God says, I welcome you. You may have cheated somebody about something that you shouldn't have cheated. God says, I welcome you. I love you. You may have done something that broke your marriage. God says, I love you. I welcome you. You think about whatever you've done. You may have been selfish and proud and a nuisance to people. God says, I welcome you. I love you. It don't matter what you've done. God says, you can be with me in paradise. Then Jesus says something else. He saw his mother, he saw John, the disciple that the Bible says Jesus loved, and then Jesus said, and we went through all of this, this is kind of review, John 19, Jesus said, woman, here's your son. He's talking to Mary, and to John he says, she's going to be your mother. And this is what the cross tells us about these statements. For your notes, write this down. The cross shows us how much God cares for our lives. So when you feel lonely, God cares. When you're angry, God cares. When you can't see the future, God cares. When you wonder about what's going to happen, God cares. When you're crying and are sad, God cares. Jesus is looking at his mother crying, and John probably crying too, and he says, hey, listen, it's all good. God loves you. When all hope seems lost, God cares for you. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For your notes, write this down. The cross tells us that God is pure, perfect, and righteous. You know that we live in a broken society. We live in a broken world. Many people live in broken homes. Our dreams have been broken. Our society is broken. Our government is broken. We've been lied to. We've been taken advantage of. Sometimes people have thrown us under the bus. And we feel like we've been forsaken. Listen, God is the one who will never forsake you. God is the one who will never leave you. He will never break your heart. That's God. Jesus said from the cross, I'm thirsty, in John, the Gospel, chapter 19, verse 28. The cross reminds us, for your notes, of God's willing involvement in our lives. This is the Son of God. This is the one who was sitting on the throne in heaven. But here's what happened. The king decided to go live with the peasants. What powerful person would be willing to give it all up for the sake of the poor? That was Jesus. He stepped down from heaven to be with us. And when he was hanging on that cross saying, I'm thirsty, he was showing to all the world for all times his humanity. John chapter 19, verse 30. We're going to deal with these last two statements here today. Jesus said, it is finished. He said that in John chapter 19, verse 30. Amazing to me that in 33 years a man would accomplish everything that he had to accomplish. I've been with people at the end of their lives who said, boy, I'd never accomplished what I should have accomplished. And here's Jesus, a young man, saying, it is finished, it is done. For your notes, the cross shows us in that statement that God did it all for you and me. When Jesus said, it is finished, he was saying, I did everything God required to get you all to heaven. And then he also made one more statement. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. Jesus said to the Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. For your notes, the cross is all about God's sacrifice. We're talking about getting a clear picture of God, and this is what we get here. No other Lord would have done that. No other king would have done that. No other God, little g, would have done that. God freely gives us all we need. For your notes, I want you to write down the words full life. Full life. Write this down, please. Jesus Christ offers the full life you're searching for. It seems like simultaneously, or almost simultaneously, Jesus said these last two statements. First, he said, it is finished, like we read, right? The Bible says he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And then verse 46 of Luke chapter 23 says, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I place my spirit. And he said that this, and then he died. So we visualize Jesus maybe saying, it is finished, as he's crucified. It is finished. And then as he's bowing down to breathe his last, he yells out, into your hands I commit my spirit. And there he died. For your notes, Jesus had paid in full the penalty of our sins. Paid in full the penalty of our sins. When Dorian and I were dating, we were at this place that we used to like to go to down International Drive. And, man, we were having a great dinner. And when we get ready to pay, we're young. We didn't have any money. The lady said, hey, no, somebody paid for your dinner. We're like, what? You remember that, Dorian? We're like, what? What? Somebody paid for us? And we're looking around all over the place to see who done that. Have you done that before? You paid for somebody else? Doesn't it make you feel so awesome? You paid it in full. The other day, I went to Starbucks, and I went to pay. The lady said, oh, the lady in front of you paid. I was like, what? I'll be honest with you. I did not pay for the guy behind me, okay? I did not pay for that. I should have maybe, but I didn't. When we celebrated 30 years, I just don't have the gift of giving. Anyway, when we... Sorry. No, that's poor. when we celebrated 30 years here, the church sent us on a vacation, me and Doreen. Y'all said, go anywhere you want. We pay for it. I said, what? And so I asked Joe and the administrator. I said, Joe, do I have a ceiling? Because I don't want to misuse the money that the church. No, 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 no ceiling. You do whatever you want. It's paid in full. Boom shakalaka. So listen, we went in Alaska. We went on a helicopter ride on top of that thing, glacier. Being up there was like being in a different world. It's like being in Mars, however long we stayed up there. It was insane. And we went inside this gold mine. Oh, what a memory. It's now no longer working. And then we panned for gold. We really didn't find anything, but it was really cool. And then the church paid for us to go on this ride with this athletic. I did ride dogs that pulled us through their roads. Yeah, it was really awesome. We ate a lot of halibut, y'all. Yeah. And we took this incredible train ride from Anchorage to Seward, Alaska. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. We were in the middle of nowhere seeing some insane scenes. I was so excited. The tour guide is talking, and I said, I have a question. You know where I'm going. I have a question. Everybody's like, what's the question? I'm like, has anybody seen a Bigfoot around here? I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. There's got to be a Bigfoot somewhere. For real. Doreen is like, just as she's now. She's like, nah, you shouldn't have done that. I'm sure there are somewhere out there. Hey, listen, at the cross, Jesus paid in full our debt before God. Our debt of sin required blood. But God knew that our blood wouldn't be sufficient because we're all sinners. Jesus was sinless. And so we've talked about it before already. God dumped all our sin on his son Jesus, and there he bled and died. And when he was done, it was all paid in full for us. Blessed be the name of God. We may have had a journey of a lifetime, me and Doreen, up there. But I want to tell you, when you give your heart to Jesus, he gives you a life journey of a lifetime. In the Bible, there's an incredible scripture. This is from the Living Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. God is on one side, talking about the cross now here, right? And Jesus being the one who paid it all for us. God is on one side and all the people on the other side. And Christ himself, man, is between them to bring them together. He is like the builder and the architect. It's like Jesus built a bridge between heaven and earth, between earth and heaven. So anyone who believes in him will be able to connect with the Father. For your notes, write this down. Jesus is the mediator. Write it down. Jesus is the mediator between you and God, between me and God. And then one more for your notes. Our job is to tell others what Jesus has done because they don't know. People don't know. You know, you do realize there are people who come to the church sometimes who have never, ever stepped foot inside a church. In the 90s, there was a bracelet that came out. I'm sure you remember it. It was WWJD. What would Jesus do? Remember those? Went to a restaurant one time, long time ago, when those had come out. And the waitress was wearing a WWJD bracelet. I knew what it meant. I knew what the signified. But I wanted to use my question as a segue to share the gospel with this girl. So I said to the waitress, hey, WWJD, what does that mean? She said, I don't know. She said, I found it. Nobody claimed it. And I'm wearing it. She said, somebody that was buying food here told me that it means we want Jack Daniels. I'm telling you a true story. I said, no, that's not what it means. I said, it means what would Jesus do in any given situation? So I kicked it into the gospel right away. But I want to tell you, that girl was busy and she didn't want to hear about the gospel. God bless her heart. That was the end of that. I didn't get to talk to her again about Jesus. Romans 10:17 says this. The point is this. It's from the Message Bible, okay? The point is this. Before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. And in your Bible says, how are they going to hear about Christ if nobody tells them? You and I have got to tell the story. I've had church members who say, well, that's what we pay you for. I'm like, you need to get back, maybe to the Bible, because you don't know what you're talking about. You're an ignorant. It's not about me telling people about Jesus. It's about you telling people about Jesus and me telling people about the Lord Jesus. We all together in this thing, y'all. Your call, my call, to win people to Christ. So Jesus, what he did is insane. I mean, he died for the sins of the world. It's an absolutely amazing story. And now we got to tell it. 1 Peter 3:15. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. The other day, I was with somebody, businessman here in town, and I felt like God was telling me, tell him about Jesus. And I'm waiting. And for the open door. And he said, hey, can we talk outside? I said, sure. And then he started trying to win me for what he was doing. This guy was a Mason. He wanted me to become a Mason or check out the Masons. And and I'm like, God sent me, tell him about me. I'm like, okay. And I said, hey, we used to have a guy around here who was a grand poopa of the Masons. I said, what you call it, a grand poopa? No, it's a something Mason. What? Right, something like that, right? I said, okay, but listen. You need to be focused on Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Oh, yeah, he said, but, you know, have you ever heard about this and about that? And I think he even talked about the pituitary gland. I don't know what he was saying. It was like, whoosh, right over my head. He was like, whoosh. I said, pa. I said, no, I haven't heard about any of that. But listen, you and I got to talk about Christ. Because Jesus gives us the freedom to do whatever we want. To enjoy life. He gives us the freedom to enjoy life to the very uttermost. So we talked and, you know, we didn't get far, but it was the deal of, I need to tell this guy about Christ. He may already know him. And he said, oh, yeah, I know Jesus, but I don't know anything else about that, right? I'm just saying, y'all, we're here on Easter, Palm Sunday. We're going to celebrate Easter next week. And it's an awesome deal. But we have got to tell the story ourselves. Okay, so let me say a couple of things about it is finished, and then about into your hands I commit my spirit, then we'll get ready to close. All right, so Jesus said it is finished, not I am finished, not they finished me up, none of that. He said, it is finished. I've done what I needed to do. It wasn't the end of the story for Jesus. He was about to be glorified after the resurrection, right? He's sitting in the throne of heaven today, and he's coming back one day riding on a white horse from the clouds. Hello. So he said, it is finished. The job is done. And then when he said, into your hands I commit my spirit, there's two things that I want you all to write down. One, Jesus had a lot of life and strength still in him when he died, because the Bible says that he yelled it out. Into your hands I commend my spirit. As a pastor, I've been by the side of dying people. too many times, more than I want to care to count. And you know, most people, when they're dying, they're whispering because they're weak, because they don't have much left. Sometimes you got to get real close to their mouth because you can't tell what they're saying. I got to get close to, what are you saying to me? Not Jesus. He yelled it out loud. He still had a lot of life in him. God used the Jews and the Romans to put his son on that cross, right? But the Bible says that it's not that they killed him. Jesus laid down his life. He laid it down. He was like, I'm done my job. There you go. I'm out. The Bible says this, John chapter 10, verse 18. Look at what Jesus says. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down, and when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. One more thing about him saying, into your hand I commit my spirit. For your notes, Jesus reaffirmed the truth that the spirit lives even after death. Some people believe that when they die, they go into nothingness. It's over. It's like their spirit disappears. It kind of disintegrates. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that our spirit continues to live. And Jesus is reaffirming that by saying, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. So you have a spirit that's going to live forever. I have a spirit that lives forever. And the question is, where are we going to live forever? Is it going to be close to God in heaven or far away from him in eternity in hell? The cross is the foundation of all we believe. And if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, and you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, he will save your soul. God was thinking about the cross even before the foundations of the world were laid. The cross was everywhere. Came across this the other day. It's fascinating. In the times of Jesus, there was a donkey, a breed of donkey called the Nubian donkey. Probably the one that Jesus rode on. Fascinating thing about Nubian donkeys is that they have a cross that God has painted on their back. Put that picture on the screen. There it is, right there. Imagine Jesus riding up the hill to Jerusalem, where he knows he's going to be arrested, where he knows he's going to be punished and crucified. He's riding on that donkey, and all he sees on that donkey is the cross. The cross is everything to us, y'all. And today, we remember the beauty of it all. You know, Jesus died. They had to pull him off the cross in a hurry because he had to be buried within 3 hours, because at 6 o'clock, they were going to begin the Sabbath, so Jesus died at 3 o'clock, and that meant that they had to go to Pilate and ask for the body, and Pilate, after granting them an audience, would have to say, okay, go get him, and then they had to go and somehow unnail those nails that were fixed to the cross in his hands. They had to take those big nails off of his hands, off of his feet, and his body was slumped down. So I'm sure they had to kind of hold him with some kind of a strap and bring him down and then take him to the place where he's going to be buried. But they had to prepare his body before they buried him. And man, it was in a hurry. It was a hurry up offense. And then, of course, they did that, and they rolled the stone in front of the cave. And then they had to leave him. What a sad day, man. What a sad, sad day. And I'm sure they went home and they cried their eyes out. And the next day, they cried their eyes out. But thank God for Sunday, y'all. Because when Sunday came, the stone was rolled away. The angel rolled it away. And Jesus came out and said, I told you. Be at peace, have no fear. I think God is still saying that to us. Be at peace, have no fear. That's all God wanted me to say today. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus' death. There might be somebody watching me on video right now, Facebook, who says, wow, I just didn't know a lot about the cross. Maybe you need to ask Jesus to come inside your heart today. No, maybe you need to. If you've never given your heart to Christ, there is a reason God wanted you to watch today's message. If you have never given your heart to Christ, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer and turn yourself over to Jesus. Same for the people who are sitting here. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you can turn your life over to Jesus right now. Father, you pray to him something like this. Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that he was punished and he bled and he died. And I believe that he was buried. And I believe with all my heart, Lord God, that on the third day Jesus rose from the dead, that he's alive today. And I don't have the answers and I have a lot of questions, but right now by faith, I ask Jesus to come inside my heart and save my soul. Help me live for Jesus for the rest of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Listen, if you ask Jesus Christ to save your soul for the first time, will you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Anybody here? You say, I've never asked Jesus in my heart, but I did this morning. All right. Father in heaven, for us the believers, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, God. Oh, what a gracious, awesome God you are. We love you, God. We bless your name. This morning, God, thank you for reminding us of the love that you have for us, how much you care. Lord, we want to live for you. Help us with all our troubles, God, and help us praise you and worship you no matter what happens. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you all for taking notes, and thank you for